Praise the Lord, everyone. Welcome again to another Q&A. Just a quick mic check real fast. Okay, one. All right, let me pull the mic up just a little bit closer, too. Welcome, everyone, to the Q&A. I am Brian Erickson, your host and moderator for tonight's Q&A session. I am once again joined with Pastor David J. Meyer, live from Truth Tabernacle, Last Trumpet Ministries, here in Beaver Dam, Wisconsin. Now, this is a Q&A session in which you can post your questions in the room. How it goes is right after the prayer, which Pastor will lead us into. There will be two archived questions from previous Q&As that we have not reached. After that, we will get on to our live audio questions. After the prayer, you can begin to post your current questions after the prayer, so, and that way we can get ourselves caught up to those. This is not an argument session. This is not a debate session. If you can't sit and politely listen, and you can ask questions, but if you can't obey those simple things, then we'll kick you out. Other than that, I think pretty much that's about it. We're going to go ahead now and switch it over to Pastor David J. Meyer here to start us off with a opening prayer and get us going.
Praise the Lord, everyone. Can everyone hear me all right? All right. Praise the Lord. It's good to be here, and we're going to open with a prayer. Let's call upon the Lord together and ask him for his help. We sure do need him. Everything is falling apart around us as far as this nation and this world, but we have received a kingdom which cannot be removed, so we rejoice in that. But we're going to ask for the Lord's help right now. Father in heaven, we come to thee in prayer, O Lord, with sincere hearts, thanking thee that we can study thy word together and learn of thee. Lord, we commend this entire time over into thine almighty hands. O Lord, this is a work for thee, to honor thee, to glorify thee, to lift thee up, to magnify thy holy name. For thou art the living God, the creator of the universe, and there is none else. And O Lord, I pray now that thou wouldst help us to hear thy word. Help us, O Lord, that our faith would be great, that we would honor thee with all that we can from our hearts, souls, minds. Lord, I pray that thou wouldst edify us, exhort us, comfort us. And, O Lord, let all that we do be pleasing in thy sight. We now yield ourselves unto thee. Give us ears to hear. Give us minds and hearts that perceive and understand. And let Satan and all the powers of darkness be rebuked, bound, and cast out, and made powerless in thy holy presence. We come against every devil, every unclean spirit, every force of darkness, every hindering power, breaking every hex, vex, curse, anything that would be sent against us. Let all those things come to naught, and let the name of the Lord Jesus be lifted up and glorified. And in Jesus' name, through the power of the blood, we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, before we begin with our two archive questions, I want to reiterate again about the rules here. Sometimes my mouth goes faster than my brain does, and I tend to fumble the words. What I really mean is that this is a Q&A session, and it's a time of learning, and it's a time to get into the Word of God through questions that you guys have on your hearts. I mean, these are actual questions that you, our listeners right now, have questions to. And it's not a time for, a warfare, so to speak, of words. I mean, this is a time of learning and growing. And that's what I pretty much feel like the Q&A is all about. And a debate and an argument session is completely different. So for those, again, that were confused about what I said, this is a time for your questions to come into the room where we can come before God and answer these questions all together. And again, if you feel like you cannot agree to those rules and regulations, then again, you are most likely, you can stay and listen. Hopefully the Lord will convict you, but otherwise there could be other rooms that you could be attending at this point. So let me go ahead with two archive questions. This comes from Pickin' for God's Bride. Pastor, is the color of sin actually red? Is the color of death black then? And is a color anything within itself or a metaphor in meaning?
Well, yes, actually, color is very important. The scripture does tell us, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. So when God looks at sin, he equates that with the color red. And of course, we know that blood is red, and the blood of Jesus Christ blots out all sin, covers all sin. So there's a substitution made. We were involved with the color red through sin, and the blood of Jesus, which is red, as he hung on the cross of Calvary, as he suffered and died, wore the crown of thorns and so forth, there was a substitutionary red. The blood of Jesus has now washed all the sinful red out of us. So that's a wonderful way that God revealed that through his word. And black, actually the color black is used to indicate extreme trouble, sorrow, grief. Let's let every soul be filled with blackness and so forth during a time of tribulation, which, by the way, we are in. It's an amazing thing how God does use colors. And we can get into more of that another time if you want to, because it's a Bible study in itself. But to answer the question specifically, yes, that's how it works.
Okay. Well, hopefully for picking for God, for God's bride, excuse me, hopefully that answered your question. And if there's any follow-up questions, we'll take them now. Otherwise, we'll go to the next archive question, which comes from Maranatha 777. And she writes, "A land flowing with milk and honey, the promised land. Is God talking about the New Jerusalem from above or here? So much confusion regarding physical and natural Israel among churches today."
All right, yes, you're right. And I'm glad you asked the question, because whenever the Bible talks about the land of milk and honey, the even though it be in the framework of a physical nation of Israel, Israel was never natural Israel. The only true Israel was spiritual. And ultimately, the promise made to Abraham was made, was directed at Jesus Christ. For an example, when God made promises to Abraham, later on the Apostle Paul in the book of Galatians said that the promise was made to Abraham and his seed, not seeds as many, but seed as one, that is Christ. So the promises to Abraham were not made to a nation of people. It was made to Abraham and Jesus. Now, we find the fulfillment of that promise and that covenant and all the glories of the promised land, the land that floweth with milk and honey. We find that in Jesus Christ and in the New Jerusalem. We know that in Hebrews chapter 11, the scripture tells us that Abraham sought and looked for a city whose builder and maker is God, that even though he sojourned on this earth, he never found the city that he looked for on this earth, because it's not here. It comes down from God out of heaven, and it will very, very soon. So yes, we have to look forward to the ultimate, to the absolute, and to what God was really talking about in total fulfillment. Now, there are types and shadows in the Old Testament. The city of Jerusalem, also called Zion, and so forth, that was only a type. But the reality of the fullness, the manifestation of the promises of God are always in Jesus Christ. There is no nation of Israel outside of the spiritual Israel in Jesus. That's Amen. All there is.
For we're strangers and pilgrims on this world. We seek a city that is to come, and it's not here.
Right.
Praise the Lord.
As a matter of fact, in Hebrews 13, it says, here we have no continuing city. So that verse itself literally wipes out natural Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you very much. We're going to go on to another question here from Metal 12. Pastor, could you give us exact scriptures in Revelation and the four Gospels where Jesus said he is God for Boogie Dan Jesus fan? And for all of us. Thank you.
Okay, basically, if you look in Revelation chapter 1, here it tells us that Jesus Christ is the Almighty. Now, there can only be one Almighty. You can't have more than one Almighty, obviously. You couldn't use the word Almighty. That can belong to only one. Jesus is proclaimed to be the Almighty. You can find it in Revelation chapter 1. Also, when you look at the some of the conversations that Jesus had, there were only a couple instances where he fully identified himself. When he said, I that speak to you am he, the woman at the well, he told her that he was the Messiah. Who was the Messiah? Emmanuel, God with us. Not part of God with us, God with us. Isaiah 9:6 tells us that the little baby that was born was the everlasting Father.
Amen.
So, very clearly, Jesus is God wearing a robe of flesh. And if you look at all these scriptures, there are many more. John chapter 14, Jesus looked at Philip when they wanted to see the Father, and they asked him, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And Jesus looked at Philip and said, have I been so long time with you, Philip, and yet hast thou not known me? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Mm-hmm. How sayest thou then, show us the Father? In John chapter 12, Jesus said, he that seeth me seeth not me, but him that sent me. I mean, how could it be any clearer that Amen. He is God?
Okay. Well, hopefully that answered your questions Meadow 12. We're going to continue on to the live questions now. We're going to start with Bonnie for Jesus, Candy Grams, and XP Cruiser. We're going to go for Bonnie for Jesus. Obama signed the health reform bill with 22 pens of different colors. What is the meaning of this?
All right, that's a very, very good question. I'm really glad that you asked that one because it's very important. By the way, Obama signing this thing, I'm sure you know by now, has destroyed what is left of our industrial base in our country. We heard already, I'll answer your question in a moment. I just want to throw this in before I forget about it. But today, the John Deere Corporation, which is a mega giant corporation, said that they're going to have to make major cutbacks, layoffs, and so forth, because the health care plan is costing them, just this year alone, $90 million.
Wow.
And we also heard from Caterpillar Tractor Company in Peoria, Illinois, same thing, massive, mega millions of dollars that they have to pay. Now, all of this is enforced by the infernal Revenue Service. And, in fact, next year on the tax forms, if we don't have an insurrection in this country, and I think we're on the verge of civil war right now, but your next tax forms, you will have to account for your health plan on there, or you will have to answer to the IRS for it. Since when does the IRS handle health insurance? We have been victims of a hostile takeover, and Obama promised change, and boy, did he bring it, but not the kind we want.
That's right.
The industrial base has now basically destroyed what was left of it, and we are moving into a time of great tribulation. And I'll tell you what, when he signed that, yes, he used 22 pens, multicolored. Why? Because it is absolutely occult. Now, the number 22 is significant because numerologically, when you look at the scope of the witchcraft of it, it's the Aquarian number 11 doubled. If you recall from, if you don't know anything about astrology, you're better off, but I'll just tell you this much. Aquarius is the 11th sign. Aries, Taurus, Gemini, Cancer, Leo, Virgo, Libra, Scorpio, Sagittarius, Capricorn, Aquarius, and Pisces. Aquarius is not only a sign, but it's an age. The entire zodiac moves through the cosmos at a certain rate of speed, and you have ages or eons of time of 1,000 years each. The age of Aquarius is that proverbial 1,000 years of peace. There's a millennium doctrine that worked its way into Christianity out of witchcraft because of that very thing. Adolf Hitler had his 1,000-year Third Reich, which didn't quite make 1,000 years. What was it, about 12? It was actually 13 years. Interesting, too, isn't it?
Very interesting.
Anyway, when you look at this Aquarian number, this signifies the new age of Aquarius. witches are preoccupied with Aquarius. In fact, in Minneapolis, St. Paul area, they have a convention of witches that gather together, and they call it the Aquarian Arts Festival, meaning the arts of witchcraft.
Wow.
They have another one in Ohio called Wisteria. You might want to call it a fly-in. So anyway, but when you look at the number 22, it is Aquarius doubled, the double effect, the doppelganger effect. Now, which is it's kind of a shadow double punch that they use. The pens, it's kind of interesting, the multicolors, because in Satan's kingdom, he divides his realm up into seven different segments. Each one is presided over by a principality. Ephesians 6:12 says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. The principalities are chief generals under Satan. Actually, I should say under Beelzebub, who is under Satan. Beelzebub is Satan's chief general. Then you've got the seven principalities. These seven principalities, and this, I'm telling you, this is what the witches believe, okay? These seven principalities all answer to certain colors. And they answer to the colors of the spectrum. Red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet. And he had pens representing every one of those demons, every one of those colors there. You don't need 22 multicolored pens to sign a document. But in order to appease the evil spirits in that realm and in that world, he used 22 pens, and he used all the colors of the spectrum.
Does it also tie in with seven deadly sins from Dave Marco?
Yes, it does, exactly. Very good observation.
Okay. Well, hopefully that answered your question there, Bonnie, for Jesus. We're going to go ahead and move on, unless someone else has any follow-up questions. We're going to move to candygrams. Pastor, we talked 2 weeks ago about Jesus retracing the footsteps of fallen man, and I wanted to know if Jesus being taken to Egypt when he was a baby was part of that retracing. In Matthew chapter 2, verse 13, arise and take thy young child and his mother and flee to Egypt, and be there until I bring thee word.
I just love it when people think, and when they're discerning. Yes, absolutely. See, everything that man fell into, Jesus had to take man out of. And when you look at the Garden of Eden, of course, they were driven from the garden eastward. And when Jesus retraced the footsteps of fallen man, as the high priest did under the old covenant in type, we know they went westward. The entrance to the temple, the entrance to the tabernacle, was always in the east, and they moved westward toward God. The wise men in the east went west to find the Savior and followed the star to the west. So when Jesus was born, he also was taken into Egypt, because Egypt is a type of sin and environment that we were all in. And what the fact is, every one of us have been called out of Egypt. Jesus went there in a natural sense to call us out in a spiritual sense. And literally everything that you find in type, you have to find in anti-type or complete fulfillment under the new covenant. For an example, another one is when Adam and Eve were in the garden and they realized they were naked, they ran through the garden to hide themselves. When Jesus was taken in the Garden of Gethsemane, there was Mark, who, when they laid hold upon him, grabbed his garment, he was wrapped in a sheet, and he fled naked through the Garden of Gethsemane. It all ties together. The Bible is so awesome in its accuracy.
Amen.
So yes, that's exactly why he went into Egypt, because he went there in type to take us out.
Okay. Well, hopefully that answered your question there. We'll wait for any follow-up questions, unless that answered it. Looks like it did. Thank you very much. This is Candygrams. We're going to go to XP Cruiser. XP Cruiser writes, Pastor, could you please explain how the unemployed will afford the Obamacare tax?
Basically, they won't. What's going to happen is, with Obama, the government is going to provide insurance at a rate of $2,000 a year. Now, what they're going to do is they're going to hit people. If a person is below the poverty level and they can't pay it, they're going to subsidize it somewhat. But they still have to come up. There's no free lunch, as it were. Somebody's got to pay that bill. They're going to hit the middle class very, very hard. And the whole purpose behind this is for the government to regulate your health, your life, and your death. You will not be able to afford secular insurance from Blue Cross, Blue Shield, or any of these. They're going to have to raise their prices sky high. Only the very rich will afford those. You'll be forced to buy government insurance. When you do that, you'll find that panels, federal panels, government agents will determine whether you receive treatment or not. In other words, whether you live or whether you die. They will have death panels. That's all in that 2,000 some pages there. And they will be regulating literally everything pertaining to your health. So there are a number of factors here to consider. And
Numero writes, what happens to those that are disabled and have Medicaid and Medicare?
All of this will eventually be absorbed into that system. The states, of course, will be offering their plan, but through the federal plan. Eventually, it'll all be brought together. Medicaid, which is operated by the state, will be brought under the scope of the new health care plan. So there's no escaping it. Everybody's going to be brought into this thing if it is allowed to continue on. We are currently in a state of near insurrection. It wouldn't take much. When people start to see what's in this, see, Nancy Pelosi made the statement. She said, we have no rules. We make them up as we go along. This is hostile takeover. She said, I'm the most powerful woman in 100 years. She is on a demonic power trip. These people know what they're doing. They're bringing this country down to complete and absolute communist control. It goes beyond socialism. It goes right into communism. You're seeing the formation of communism right before your very eyes. And people can hardly believe it could ever happen in this country. But it has, and it is. And there will be great trouble. You see, in communism, if you ever studied the works of Karl Marx or Engels, Das Kapital, and so forth, you have two classes of people. You have the bourgeoisie and you have the proletariat, the ruling class and the poor, no middle class. What this bill will do is totally destroy the middle class by taxing them to a point of insanity. And everybody's going to be poor by the time it's over.
Well, so it's going to be pretty much almost like a crime. Here we go. XP Cruiser writes, will the insured have to pay double? And is it privately insured,
If you're privately insured, you can keep your insurance, but you're not going to be able to keep it very long because you're going to find these companies doubling, tripling, and quadrupling their premiums. And you'll be forced to go into the, unless you're a very, very rich person, you'll be forced to go into the government plan. And there are so many evils in this thing that it would take all night to begin to talk about it. But this is basically what's going to happen. People will fall under this thing, and the IRS will enforce it. If you got sick and really needed attention, or maybe even cut yourself real bad, needed stitches or something, and you went into the emergency room and you didn't have insurance, you would be heavily fined and could be jailed. So they kick you while you're down. You're feeling terrible, you're hurt, you're injured. Then they slap a fine on you. This is absolute oppression.
It's ridiculous. I mean, if someone is injured, they don't have a job, they go walk into a hospital, and one of the questions is, well, do you have the health care? No. Well, you're going to get charged $2,000, so I can't pay it. I mean, what are they going to do? What about the states' rights? Do you know anything about this?
Well, this is why, yes, this is why they've got the goon squad, the thugs, the jackbooted thugs called the IRS, to operate this thing. By the way, they're buying up rifles like everything. The IRS has put in an order for automatic rifles. So anyway, I saw that on one of their government websites. But see, what they're doing is they have to have a way to police this. And everybody's already required to do taxes. And there'll be, on your tax form, there'll be a place requiring you to put down, you know, what you have for insurance. And they're going to check up on it. Any company that wants to self-insure, in other words, let's say you've got some employees and you have enough funds in reserve where you could insure your people without going through any insurance company, they'll let you do that. But you will be audited monthly by the IRS. Okay, so the IRS has nothing whatsoever to do with health insurance or health plans, but it's been handed over to them because they are such a well-known policing agency, and people are generally scared to death of those three letters out of the alphabet, IRS. And I don't think we should let them intimidate us. Christians should have no fear.
No.
We'll have a ministry wherever we go.
Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Well, we're going to go on, unless anyone else has any questions on this subject. XB Cruiser says thank you. We're going to go on to the next questions. The next three questions are going to come from KLSA4, Love the Lord 13, and Bouquet. Once again, this is a Q&A session where we're live with Pastor David J. Meyer. For those of us that just joined the room, welcome. This is a live session. You may post your questions by simply typing it into the text bar there and hitting send, and we will get those questions in the order that they are received. Continuing on with KLSA4, this is from Laurie. Pastor, Acts 12, verse 2 says, James was killed by the sword. Then in Acts 12:17, Peter says, go and show these things unto James. Is it the same James, or what does this mean? Thank you very much.
There are two different Jameses there, actually. There's James, the brother of Jesus, and then there's the one called James the Less. Not that he was any less necessarily, but it's just that it's differentiating between the two. So that can be confusing when you look at it, but there were two entirely different characters there named James.
Okay. Well, hopefully that answered your question there, KLSA4. We're going to move on, unless anyone else has any other questions on that. We're going to go to Love the Lord 13. Pastor, what will happen to us when we die? Do we stay asleep or do we go to heaven? When will we be judged?
All right. Well, you know, the Scripture teaches us, and it's very clear in the Scripture. Before I explain this, let me tell you, there are churches, organizations, such as the Seventh-day Adventists, that claim when you die, you just go to the grave and you wait. And the Apostle Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We also know that Jesus said, when the Sadducees, who didn't believe in a resurrection, when they questioned him, Jesus said, you do greatly err, not knowing the Scriptures nor the power of God. And he went on to explain to them that God said I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, when he was speaking to Moses out of the burning bush. I am, remember the story? I am, the great I am. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then Jesus said, God is not a God of the dead, but of the living. So, in other words, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were not laying in the ground, dormant. They were very much alive.
Amen.
And this is what he was telling them. You know, I'll tell you what, these false churches sure give me a lot to do. Because, and I don't mind, I'm not complaining, I'm just saying, but people are continually coming with certain of these doctrines, and they're so easy to shoot down. It's all right in the Bible. But these false organizations, they build up their big case, they take certain verses out of context, and text out of context is always pretext. So if you take the whole counsel of God, you can only come up with one doctrine, and that is the Christian does not die. They go to be with the Lord immediately. Now, those who are lost go to a place called Hades, which is like a holding cell waiting for judgment. The Christians will also pass before the judgment seat of Christ to obtain their reward, but never condemnation. And the scripture is very, very clear on that. You can read in the first several chapters. I'm trying to think of this, 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians. I only got about 3 hours of sleep last night, so you have to excuse me if I have a little slippage here. But Shirley, where is it? She always knows. My wife's a whole lot smarter than I am. It'll tell you, I believe it's 1 Corinthians chapter 3, but we could verify that. And it'll tell you about the various rewards and so forth. The day shall declare it.
1 Corinthians 3.
You know, if any man, works do not stand, he shall suffer loss, yet he himself shall be saved. I should get my own Bible out and look while we're doing this, but I'm so busy talking. I'll let the other guys look them up. No, what he's talking about is the that great day of the Lord, the judgment. We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. But he's talking about building, we build on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, and there's different types of building. And if what we build stands, then we receive a reward. For every man's work shall be tried by fire, okay? In other words, judgment. Well, everybody's having trouble finding it, so... But it's there.
But it, someone was saying it is 1 Corinthians 3. So
it is. Okay, good.
So, but okay. Well, hopefully that answered your question. We're going to go ahead and continue on then to the next question. Comes from Bokeh. Bokeh writes, Pastor Meyer, some of my Bible-believing friends support the wars and Pax Americana. They see God telling men in the Old Testament to kill everyone, and I don't know exactly how to explain it. Thank you very much.
All right. Well, yeah, the people who are real war hawks would like to justify what the United States does, which, of course, that's unjustifiable, what we are doing. But in the Old Testament, God did call upon natural Israel to destroy certain cultures, certain people, because they were absolutely demon-possessed. Now, if you look at the situation today, I think the most demon-possessed country in the world is the United States.
Amen.
We have the evidence of it here constantly. You know, over in Afghanistan, and if I want to look at the news, I'll go to the London Times or the Daily Mail or some of these other papers, because then we can hear what's going on. In this country, the press performs like trained seals for the Obama administration.
Oh, yes.
And they're nothing but sock puppets. That's all they are. So I found out recently, and it's in the newsletter this time, which, by the way, was just mailed today.
Amen.
I hope it's up online by now. It's supposed to be on our website. But our United States forces in Afghanistan went into a house and dragged out 8 school-age children. We're talking about elementary school, not high school. Handcuffed them, hauled them out in the middle of the night, and shot them and killed them. Now, that's never justifiable.
No.
We have invaded one country after another. We wanted to invade Iraq because... I'll tell you a little bedtime story here. You can think about this later. But our country is so vile that, and I love my country. I just don't love the people that are running it. That's why I say it's vile. It's a beautiful land, but it's full of demons and corruption. Anyway, back during the days of Roosevelt, We went off the gold standard. Then came the days of Lyndon B. Johnson, where we went off the silver standard. We were still paying gold and silver for a while to other countries to pay our debts, until that was gone. Now we needed another way to force ourselves upon the world. So, during the final days of the Lyndon Johnson administration, we cut a deal with the OPEC nations, the oil-producing and exporting countries, and we said, if we will protect you, we will support your high prices and so forth, make sure you get rich. All you have to do is insist that the payment for oil, no matter who buys it, is made with U.S. dollars. U.S. dollars. If China or Russia or Japan or anybody wanted to buy oil from OPEC, they had to have U.S. dollars. Thus, we forced our currency upon the entire world. Then we inflated our currency, making it worth less and less. And it worked for a while. But then one man dared to oppose it. Saddam Hussein of Iraq, the number two oil-producing country of the world, said, "We are accepting euros, not dollars." Now, we had supported this rat when he was mass-murdering people. We gave him weapons. We gave him ammunition. So we were in full support of Saddam Hussein. But now when he did this, when he said, "We accept euros," now we had to get that guy. We had to have an excuse to go into Iraq. There had to be provocation. And so there was an event manufactured by Dick Cheney and Dumbo Bush, George W. Bush, IQ 2 below rock. And they put this system together. I'm being a little cynical tonight, excuse me, but I just feel the wrath of God when I think about what they have done. And I have personally been in the World Trade Center several times. I've been there praying. I've been up on the roof. God gave me the vision of it coming down. And I'll tell you what, when I realized what they had done, how this was an inside job, and they murdered all of those people to provide an excuse to go into Iraq and take that country and its oil and its wealth. If all they had over there was kumquats, we wouldn't be there. So all of this is vile work of the United States of America at the behest of the Illuminati, the conspirators, behind the curtain. See, there's always the guys behind the curtain that you don't see or hear about that are running the show. Like in The Wizard of Oz, remember the little dog pulled the curtain open? And the big fake in there said, "Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. You're not supposed to know he's there," see? And there's so many stories, like the emperor has no clothes and all these things. You get reading about it, you realize that these all speak of what's going on in our country today. But anyway, we have no right whatsoever, no moral right to go to war with anybody.
That's right.
The only thing we can do is defend our own shores. We've got no business anywhere else. If somebody's going to attack us, then yes, we defend ourselves. But all of this political engineering, you know, we went into Africa to different places. You know, it's like if we went into Bongo Wongo land, for an example, and we said to Chief Bongo Wongo, "Hey, we'll give you our military support and all this sort of thing, and you're going to allow us to put our businesses in there, our factories, you know, we're using foreign labor and so forth, and we'll make you rich. But don't step out of line, buddy, because there will be a war." And so we've played this strong-arm muscle game for years and years and years. And our history is full of blood and guilt. And God will judge it. And this country is going to get the worst of it when the judgment really hits.
Amen. Okay, well, hopefully, Bokeh, that answered your question there. We're going to go to the next three questions we've got up are from DubFX316, Dave Marco, and Candy Grams. So DubFX316 writes, question, Pastor, what can you talk What can you talk a little about the census, and should we fill it out?
Well, you know, it's interesting because the census is meant to count people, where they live, and how many there are. Now, there are some other questions on it. Now, I have seen, mine's still laying on my desk. I haven't sent it back. But it isn't very invasive. It doesn't ask too many questions. But my understanding is, and I've actually seen this last, let's see, I'm trying to remember what month it was, several months ago, I saw the long form, and it was very, very invasive. What time do you leave for work? How many bedrooms do you have in your home? All kinds of things. What route do you take to work? All this stuff is none of their business.
That's right.
According to the Constitution, all you have to do is put down how many people live at that address. That's all you have to do. And if you send that back, that's got to be good enough for them. If they come calling at your door, tell them that you believe in the U.S. Constitution. You suggest that they do also, and leave it at that.
Okay. Well, hopefully, DubFX316, that answered your question. We're going to move on to the next question here. And after this question, we're going to probably take a break for 5 minutes and then continue on. Dave Markle writes, Pastor, we know that we are not supposed to obey the government when they want us to do something that is forbidden by God. What about other things? And to what extent are we supposed to obey the government then when it is not immoral?
Okay, basically, we're not here to be troublemakers or anything. I think that it's getting harder and harder to obey the government.
Yeah.
And, you know, people have accused me of not being sensitive enough and praying for Obama. And when you read my newsletter, you'll see that I do pray for Obama. I have a very special prayer for him, Psalm 109, verse 8, which says, let his days be few, and let another take his office.
Amen.
That's my prayer for Obama. Now, to obey the government, if there is something you should be doing and it's moral to do it anyway, do it not because the government said so, but because God said so. I don't do anything the government because the government says so.
That's right.
I only do what God tells me to do.
Mm-hmm.
And when the government is going the other direction, they want you to do their will when we're called to do the will of God.
Praise the Lord.
And the Apostle Peter made it very clear when he was answering the Sanhedrin court who had him on trial. He said, whether it is right to obey God or man, judge ye. Okay?
Wow. All right. Hopefully, Dave Markle, that answered your question there. We're going to wait for a follow-up. Although, what about the verse that says, honor the king?
All right. First of all, we don't have a king. But I know what it means. I know what it's saying. Again, the only time you can honor a king is if the king is honorable.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have one. You know, it's like a render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. Caesar's dead. But so it's just, we don't have an honorable system. We have an antichrist system. And I've had some people say, but somebody recently wrote me a letter just really chewing me out and saying that I should never speak against the government because you're supposed to honor the king and all that sort of a thing. Well, if that be the case, then the United States of America has no right to exist because we rebelled against King George.
That's
so we
right.
could have a country. We cannot ever raise that argument because we revolted against King George.
That's right.
Okay?
That's right, because if it was under that benefactor, we would have to be under the rule of the Britain of the British Empire at the time. So, but thank the Lord, we only have one king, and that is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he is, I'll tell you what, he is more powerful and more honorable than any of these Looney Tune politicians that we got in our offices today.
He has no competition.
Amen. All right, folks, well, what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick 15-minute break during 15? This time. Or 15, excuse me. That would be pretty interesting. No, we're going to take a 5-minute break, excuse me. During this time, you may get up, get something to drink, get something to eat, or spend some time with the Lord for 5 minutes, and we will be back for the second part of our Q&A. So until then, God bless, and we'll see you all a little soon.
Well.
right, welcome back, everyone, to the second half of the Q&A session. I am Brian Erickson, your moderator for tonight's Q&A session. I'm once again joined here live with Pastor David J. Meyer from Truth Tabernacle, Beaver Dam, Wisconsin, also known as Last Trumpet Ministries. For those of you guys that are new and want to know more about Last Trumpet Ministries, we do have a lot of online places to go. Our main website is lasttrumpetministries.org. It's all one letter and then .org. We do have a YouTube channel. Just simply go to youtube.com, type in Last Trumpet Ministries, and it should take you to some of our videos that we have there. We have over 30 messages. Unfortunately, we had to chop them up, but they're all there. And we have a blog spot where you can see some of our brothers and sisters giving great testimonies and witnesses that I'm sure, no doubt, will give you guys an uplifted in the spirit. So anyways, we're going to continue on here. This is, again, a Q&A session where you can post your questions in the room, and we will answer them in the order that they are received. We're going to start off with Candy Grams. Then after that is Beagle, Beagle Air, and One Doctrine. So Candy Grams writes, Pastor, when it says in 1 Samuel 15:23, the rebellion is as sin as of witchcraft. What does this mean, the sin of witchcraft? When did witchcraft start and where did it come from?
Witchcraft has been in existence. It's hard to pinpoint a date when it first started, but it's been in existence as far back as you can go. You can find it in the scripture a lot among the pagan nations, and of course Israel picked it up very quickly. And Jezebel was one of the main propagators of witchcraft. In fact, it was said of her that how can there be any peace as long as Jezebel's witchcrafts are so many? We also find in the book of, It takes me just a moment. Like I said, I had 3 hours of sleep last night. So, let's see. Talks about the witchcrafts of the nation of Israel in one of the minor prophets. Let me see. I think it's Hosea. No, wait a minute. It isn't. Nahum. It's in the book of Nahum. Thanks for your patience. And very clear description of witchcraft there. You can go all the way back to Deuteronomy chapter 18 and have a list of the different forms of witchcraft, necromancy, observing of times. It mentions witchcraft by name, mentions wizards. Of course, a wizard is a male witch, not a warlock. A warlock is someone who defects from witchcraft. They like to keep people confused, don't they?
That's right.
Warlock is a Scotch Gaelic word, and it literally means a traitor. So anyway, there are many places in the Old Testament, and you'll find it in the New Testament. You look in Acts chapter 19, they used curious arts, which are forms of witchcraft. So it's all over the place. What it means is, and here's how it works. Here's the scenario. When you start to set up a false god, something that you have made, an idol, it's a quick, easy step into witchcraft. Because when you worship this idol is inanimate. It's made of stone or metal or wood, but it's inanimate. But you give that object your allegiance, your power, your heart, your love, and you are literally taken over by a spirit. Once a spirit takes over, a spirit of idolatry, then witchcraft comes in, because witchcraft is the means by which you communicate with the spirit through various objects. Sacred jewelry, talisman, amulets, you name it. They're all different kinds of things. Herbs that you use in certain combinations and all of that. And, of course, to cause a little euphoria, people started using certain hallucinogenic plants and were literally carried off into the spirit world. Even Dr. Timothy Leary admitted that when you're on lysergic acid diethylamide, that when you hallucinate, you're not hallucinating, you're actually seeing another world that exists. And the drug is the bridge across the troubled waters that take you into that realm as you cross the river Styx. S-T-Y-X. So you look at drugs, you look at astrology, all of this ties into witchcraft, and all of it is rebellion against God. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, because witchcraft is the ultimate rebellion. And when you turn your back on God, when you say no to Him, when you become self-willed and you want to do it your way instead of His way, you're already entered into the realm of witchcraft, and you are a sitting duck for everything that else that comes with it. Okay?
All right. Well, hopefully Candy Graham has answered your question there. She says, wow, thank you very much. We'll wait for any follow-up. Otherwise, we'll go to Beagle Air. Beagle Air writes, praise God for Pastor and Last Trumpet Ministries. I started listening to your tapes because I thought my husband was going crazy. Thank God I now wait anxiously for your new preaching and teachings. I really do have a question. I've heard you talk about the third heaven. Can you explain? I am also... Beagle Air is actually her husband's name, screen name. Her name is Pone Time, P-O-N-E-T-I-M-E. And praise and thank you. Praise God and thank you very much.
All right. Yes. Now, I can't tell you a lot about the third heaven because even the Apostle Paul wasn't allowed to talk about it. He was caught up to the third heaven, and he saw things that are not lawful for a man to utter. Therefore, being a man, I don't have much to say about the third heaven except that I know it exists because it's in the Scripture. The first heaven is actually, the Bible talks about the heavens, and the heavens of heavens cannot contain thee. The heavens not meaning the heavens cannot contain them, that is what we call the troposphere, where all the weather occurs. The realm of the clouds and the rain and the storms and so forth. The second heaven is all of space, as far as you can see and beyond, the entire cosmos that's there. The third heaven is the realm where God and the angels dwell and where we will eventually be. Now, of course, in the last days, at the end of time, the new Jerusalem will come down from God out of heaven, and there will be a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. But the third heaven right now is that place where God dwells. There is a doorway, there is a portal, and it's in the north. Of course, in the Psalms we read that promotion cometh not from the south or the west or the east, because it comes from the north. We know that Job talked about that empty place in the north. When you look in the sky, the sky is full of stars of various magnitudes. And with the naked eye, if we're out in the country where there's no light, we can see up to about magnitude 6. But as soon as you put your binoculars on, all of a sudden you see millions more stars. Telescope, millions more. Because there are just infinitely so many of them, it's impossible to count them or know their number. Only God can do that, and He even knows all their names. God gave every one of those stars a name.
Praise the Lord.
He calls them by that name. So, it's an awesome thought to see the greatness of God in all of this. Now, let's see. Did I answer that question totally or not?
Hopefully, I think we did. thank you very much. I just listened to you talk about today in your study of Isaiah. Okay. Well, praise the Lord.
Okay.
Yeah, another Beagle Air we have on our YouTube channel. It's called The Created Cosmos. Since we're talking about space and this is the second heaven, it's just really amazing, the handiwork of God, and to see how, you know, insignificant, you know, Earth is compared to what God has created. And just, you know, it's a total blessing to have some people out there that are scientists that do have a brain. And they just look into this stuff and just give all the glory to the Lord. So I think you'll be very blessed by that. We're going to go on here to First Doctrine. After that, Boogie Dan, Jesus Fan for Life, and Love the Lord 13 again. One Doctrine writes, can you explain Revelations 20, verse 7?
is that a finalization of the gospel being preached and then the 30 minutes of silence in heaven when there is no repentance? Thank you, from Victoria.
Okay. Now, let's look up the verse so I get it exact. I know approximately what it says. I just want to make sure we're precise.
Revelation 12, verse 7.
20, I believe, isn't it?
20.
Okay, let's pull up that verse. Okay. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. Now, first of all, we have to understand that when it says 1,000 years, we're not looking at a matter of arithmetic here, or an arithmetic number. We're looking at a period of time, and it's an indefinite period of time, using the expression 1,000, which is the Greek word kilioi. What that means is, now let's go back in the Old Testament for a moment, where the Bible says that the Lord owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Who owns the rest of them? There's more than 1,000 hills in this world with cattle on them, quite obviously. The first covenant, it said, would last for 1,000 generations. That'd be 40,000 years. And quite obviously, it didn't. It was replaced with a new covenant. So 1,000 here indicates an unspecified, indefinite, and yet a real period of time that elapses. Satan was bound by Jesus Christ at Calvary. And the scripture tells us that Jesus said, if the Son of Man be lifted up, he shall draw all men unto him. And he said, now is the prince of this world cast down. So he bound the strong man. You can find that in John chapter 12. So he bound the strong man. When he went to the cross, suffered and died, was buried and rose again, Satan was bound. Now, just prior to the return of the Lord, Satan is loosed for a little season. What indicator do we find in Revelation chapter 20 that Satan has been loosed? He goes to the four corners of the earth and tries to make a one-world government. He tries to pull all the nations together.
That's right.
Which he is doing right now before our very eyes. So we're in that peculiar little period of time. Now, when the Bible talks about the second death and the first resurrection, he that hath part in the first resurrection, the first resurrection is the act of salvation. Because in John chapter 5, it says that the time is coming and now is when they that hear the voice of the Son of God shall live. And so that's your call. That first resurrection is your call out of this world of death. And it is signified by water baptism in Jesus' name. We're buried with him in baptism. We rise to walk in newness of life. And so that is the first resurrection. The second resurrection, the final resurrection, is when all the graves are opened at the very end and judgment comes forth. But as far as that period of time, that 1,000 years being expired, you have to remember the key thing here is that 1,000 doesn't mean 1000. It is strictly metaphor, as verified by chapter 1 of Revelation, where it tells us that these things were signified or shown by signs. So the book of Revelation is a book of that uses signs to signify what God is saying using word picture language called metaphor. A picture is worth 1,000 words. And that's where a lot of people get confused when they try to make numbers mean something other than what God intended them to. So really, we are now, by evidence, in that time when Satan is gathering the nations together for his final attack.
All right. Well, praise the Lord. Hopefully that answered your question there, one doctrine. We'll continue on here unless anyone else has any follow-up questions. Once again, we will be posting this up on YouTube tonight. This is our Q&A session for tonight. It will be up on YouTube. We'll get it done as soon as we can, and hopefully it'll be on, I would say, about 2 hours after the end of our broadcasting here. For those that have missed some of the questions here in the room, let's go ahead and continue on. Boogie Dan, Jesus Fan for Life. He has a question for you, Pastor. A couple of weeks ago, I asked a question concerning my baptism. Basically, to point, I mailed a local Pentecostal church, and they never responded back. I asked, I want it done in Jesus' name, but waited for 7 days, and it's been bogging me down, and I've been a little bit angry at why they won't baptize me in Jesus' name. It's been causing him some stress and some anger, and has been coming up, and it's basically my question is, why won't any silly denominational baptize me in the name of Jesus, but they will baptize me in other names? Anyways, it's just been getting me down lately, but it is Jesus' hands I'm in, smiling. And he says, thank you for very much, Pastor Meyer.
Well, I can certainly understand how you feel. It must be very frustrating to want to be baptized with all your heart and not be able to find somebody to do it. I'm not familiar with what church this is. I can try to follow up on this for you. I know we have contacts in England that hopefully we'll get right on this, put it that way. We'll try to find out what's going on. And I'm certainly very sorrowful that it's being a problem. No one should ever have to wait to be baptized. I think it's a sign of the times that we're in, where you look and search and wondering who can do this. But remember, you wouldn't want to be baptized by somebody who doesn't really believe in it or hasn't been baptized themselves properly. What we can do is we certainly are all going to go into prayer for you and believe that this will turn around. The main thing to watch out for now is, you know, is even though this is what has happened is wrong on somebody's part, not yours, try not to have any bitterness in your soul about it. Trust the Lord. I'm sure you are. And he's going to open a door for you. He knows your heart. And if God would transfer Philip in the spirit to baptize an Ethiopian eunuch, he'll make a way for you.
Amen.
And we're going to do everything we can to help you one way or another. And I don't know, I may have to get on an airplane and fly over there myself and do it. But we're going to, and I don't fly in airplanes, and I don't really want to go on a big boat either, but it's too bad there's such a distance. But God's, I don't know what will happen, but I can tell you this. I have no doubt that God's going to open a door for you very, very soon.
Yes, he will.
All right. Well, praise the Lord. Hopefully, Boogie Dan, that helped you out there a little bit. We will take a look into this, and even a Christian, a brother can baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ as long as he's been he repented and was baptized in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we'll get right on that for you. We'll continue on here with Love the Lord 13. After that, Key David, I Am, and Awaiting Him. So Love the Lord 13 writes, Pastor, how do I help my children build their love for God? They have never been baptized, however they want to be, but I am scared to bring them to any churches in my area because it's not based on the living true word of God. We listen to your sermons, Q&As, as well as the Bible class on Wednesday. However, I want them to continue and build their relationship with Jesus.
Whereabouts do you live?
We'll wait for a response here. I don't know. Is the person still in the room? Let's see here. Yep, you are. Brooklyn.
Brooklyn, the garden spot of the world, they used to call it. I don't know. I don't know why they called it that, but Brooklyn. Okay. Well, Brooklyn's a big area. I don't know what part of Brooklyn you're in. There's some parts I wouldn't go into unless I had a half track, but. I've been in New York 14 times. I baptized a lot of people from New York and from Jersey. And, I've been wanting to go back to New York for some time now. I don't know exactly when that will happen. It could happen very soon. But anyway, I'm going to see if I can work something out for you. As far as your children are concerned, Just get the Word of God into them and lead by example and let faith do a work. Try to keep their minds on God any way that you can. And, everything that we see around us is the handiwork of God.
Praise the Lord.
There's so many things, especially in New York, that are evil. New York is not the only place. I mean, evil is everywhere, but New York really has a concentration of it. In fact, there are over 50,000 initiated witches in New York City. Initiated witches. That doesn't count the ones who dabble with it. But, rather than, with your children, rather than have the negative in front of them all the time, just always direct them to the handiwork of God, the miracles of God, and the great things He has done. Tell them Bible stories. Let them watch the clouds go by if you're in an area where you can see the clouds. And sometimes in New York, it's like certain parts you'd like living in a canyon. But
oh, yeah.
Now, I don't know, are you from like Flatbush, or are you from Bensonhurst, or Bay Ridge, or whereabouts?
We'll give you a gander to respond here. Flatbush.
Flatbush, okay. I know where Flatbush is. Well, try to keep your children positive and on the miracles of the Lord, and just get God into them every day, as far as with a little Bible story, or make comments, write scriptures on little cards and put them on your wall. They did that in Israel too, by the doorways and so forth.
Amen.
And so the scripture is always there, and answer their questions as best you can. Read a few verses every day to them. Doesn't have to be a lot of quantity, but let there be a quality time, even if it's 5 minutes, where those children are getting... I mean, God can do so much in 5 minutes. It's phenomenal how much He can do with little children in a short time.
I like what Keepon says here, and sing and worship the Lord with singing.
Yes, definitely. It's good to sing together if you can, just to bring the power of God down, and it'll work. And as far as getting baptized, let's start making a list here. We're going to see if we can, again, God's going to make a way and open the door. Usually when I go to New York, I like to stay on Staten Island because, of course, Staten Island's the joke of the New York area because it's a borough it's kind of a place of derision, really. But actually, Staten Island is a little more user-friendly as a city. I can always take the ferry across. I can get around mass transit or whatever. But, if I get to New York, if I'm that close, we could certainly work something out, I'm sure.
Okay. Well, we'll keep that in prayer. Love the Lord, 13, and hopefully that answered your question there for you. We're going to continue on here, unless anyone else has a different or follow-up question on that. We're going to go to King David. Keepon wants to know if he can come to New Zealand.
Well, I would go anywhere the Lord would send me, but, it's pretty difficult to be in too many places at once. That's the problem.
That's right.
I'd like to meet all of you, and someday we will, I'm sure, but we'll just see what the Lord will show us.
Yeah, people today with certain hobbies or stuff like that, they usually have this big convention where they all get together. That would be pretty interesting if there was some way we can do that, but we'll keep that in the Lord's hands there. Mm-hmm. We're going to go to King David IN, and this person writes, Jesus died on the cross, mm-hmm. but who raised him?
All right, that's an interesting question and a very good one, because we read in the Scripture two different things. One is that he was raised by the Father, but then Jesus said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. So again, who is Jesus? He is the Father wearing flesh. The flesh was the Son of God, not God the Son. That's a very important point also. If you read the Bible cover to cover, you will never find the words God the Son.
That's right.
It's always Son of God. flesh of God. God wearing humanity. Okay? But we find both statements made that he was raised by the Father, but Jesus said, destroy this temple and I will raise it up. That tells us who he is, and that once again verifies his deity.
Amen. Well, hopefully, King David, that answered your question there. We're going to continue on to awaiting him. This person writes, I want to know if you think the prayer in Psalms 23 and our Father's prayer in Matthew blend together. What it means is as we pray using these as models, to me, it is as if one confirms the other. Thank you so much, Pastor. I think they're both beautiful.
Yeah, you're right, and they do work together. And these prayers are meant to be model prayers, not just to be quoted. Now, you can quote them because they're Scripture, but they're meant to be like an outline of how you pray. And if you follow that outline, it's a beautiful thing because all the components that should be in a prayer are there. And you can expand upon them and take your time when you talk to the Lord and just call upon him as your Father in heaven. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. When you go into this, the name of God, the power of his name and honoring his name, you can just expand on this in prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Those are meant to be components of the prayer. And you could pray that prayer, not just quoting it, but praying it for hours. Okay?
All right. Praise the Lord. Hopefully that answers your question there. Awaiting him, we're going to go on to the next question, which comes from CDSKD. Then we're going to go to Paula Jean and then to Son and Steph REM. Now, again, there's still a whole bunch of questions tonight, so there will be some questions that are going to be left over, but do not worry. We do keep them in an archive, so in future Q&A sessions, we will have them be brought back up and answered accordingly. So check back for future Q&As to see if your question has been answered, and we will get through them to every Q&A. So we're going to go to CDSKD. Pastor, can a woman who is baptized in Jesus' name baptize a woman who wants to be baptized?
Yes, because Scripture says in the kingdom of God there is no male or female. I think that it's proper, however, for... something seems very much out of place for a woman to baptize a man. I can't say you can't do it. I just haven't found any... anything for or against it, but there's something doesn't quite, and it might be me, I don't know. It just doesn't seem, if there's a man available to baptize, let the man do it, because the man is ahead of the woman. But for a woman to baptize another woman, I see no problem with that at all.
Okay. We'll continue on here. Hopefully, CDSKD, that answered your question. Paula Jean writes, Is there a spiritual significance to the date of March 21st? This is being the day the health care bill was voted in.
Oh, yes. It's a witch's Sabbath. Very predictable. In fact, I got on the radio on the Joyce Riley program last December, the beginning of December, and I said during the time of Yule, they'll run this bill through, you know, and of course they did. And now the final vote came on another witch's Sabbath, the 21st of March, known as Astarte, or the vernal equinox. And that is what we call a quarter Sabbath. When you, in witchcraft, when you look at it, they have eight Sabbaths a year. They take a circle, they call it the circle of the year, they quarter it. In other words, cut it in four pieces. And then they cross-quarter it. So you end up with eight slices of a pie, so to speak, in that circle. Now, there are four quarter Sabbaths, four cross quarter Sabbaths. And the Yule was actually a quarter Sabbath, and so was Astarte. And so you actually have a period of 13 weeks separating these. I believe that's right. Let me just double check on that. I believe that's correct. Yeah, from the end of December. So if that is the case, then you have it quartered. There's 90 degrees of the circle between from one to the other. It's all witchcraft. That's why he chose that date. And with his 22 multicolored pens on the witch's sabbat, it all adds up, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Well, hopefully that answered your question there, Paula Jean. Looks like we'll try to squeeze in one more question for the night. Paula Jean writes, thank you very much, and yikes. So the last question for tonight comes from Sean and Steph. The question is, I have a friend of mine having issues with her husband. What would you advise in a situation where the husband refuses to provide for his family? They have been given the opportunity to get out of debt, and he will not do it because of pride.
All right. Well, the scripture tells us very clearly, the Apostle Paul wrote this. He said that if a man provide not for his own household, he's denied the faith and is worse than an infidel.
Wow.
Now, I can't think of anything that's worse than an infidel, you know. But a man who refuses to take care of his family is worse than an infidel. And so you can't possibly, by any stretch of the imagination, claim Christianity and refuse to take care of your family. I come from the old school. I'm married to what I think is the best woman in the world. And I've always tried to take care of her. And it's just God put that in me. It's just that's the Spirit of the Lord in me. I never let her pay anything. You know, she has her own money and so forth, and I give her what I can. But I never let her pay anything with her own money. That's hers. I'm supposed to support her. I have very little respect for a man who will live off from a woman or take advantage of his children. And debt, of course, is debilitating. Nothing will wreck a marriage quicker than too much debt. So it's not a time to be in debt right now.
No.
It's getting real bad out there. In fact, the Oversight Committee for Banking announced that they're fully expecting 3,000 banks to close this year. Folks, I'm telling you, we're in the middle of it. So it's a time now to be prudent. Some people will never have money because they can't stand to have money. They'll spend every penny they've got and every penny they can borrow. And it's a matter of discipline. And if they lack discipline in that area, they lack discipline everywhere else too. So it's going to take repentance and crying out to God and look for a miracle to happen.
Praise the Lord.
But the fact is, there are many people in this world who cannot stand to have money, even though it's all they seem to want. And it's a strange paradox, but that's how it works. It burns a hole in their pocket, I guess you could say.
All
okay?
Right. Well, hopefully, Sean and Steph, that answered your question there. I know my Heavenly Father will provide. Thank you very much. All right, folks. Well, this brings us up to our closing point of the Q&A. Again, for all those questions that you guys have posted, I thank you again for posting them. For those that have their questions still unanswered, we will once again have those in our archives, and on a future date of the Q&A, we will bring them back up for those answers. So your question is not going to go unanswered. So just to let people know that. But I thank you for all the questions that have been posted. As always, I feel privileged to do this, and it's just been wonderful. And I just praise the Lord that we got through this tonight. The pastor's a little bit tired tonight. And I just thank the Lord for giving him a little bit of strength to get through. And I'm just so thankful again, another great outturn for tonight's Q&A. It seems that we're just getting bigger and bigger here on the internet. And I hope, as they would say, I hope we make a big splash, so to speak. And you know, and it looks like people are starting to wake up and hear the word of God and just coming in to try to find fellowship. And it's hard. I mean, we, you know, for example, with Boogie Dan over there trying to get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and yet so many people refuse the name. I mean, it's getting really down to the wire, and that's why we need to be more fervent in obeying and following the word of God. So again, thank you, and I love you all, my brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. I'm going to now turn it over to Pastor David J. Meyer for closing thoughts and comments and lead us off into a closing prayer. Again, for those of us that are new here in this the room, LastTrumpetMinistries.org is where you'll find more information about Pastor David J. Meyer and Last Trumpet Ministries. And if you also want to go to YouTube to look up some of our messages to see what we're all about, just go to YouTube.com, type in the word Last Trumpet Ministries into the search box, and you will find many videos from us. We do also have a blog spot where some of our brothers and sisters post their testimonies and things that are on their heart from the Lord. So, excuse me, hopefully those three things will be a great blessing unto you all. And so once again, I am Brian Erickson signing off. I love doing this, and it's an honor and privilege, and I'm looking forward to next week. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Well, I am too, and I'm so thankful that the Lord has given me the strength to come on with you tonight. I hope I don't sound selfish when I ask for your prayers. Shirley and I have been going through a lot of attack lately. I know I have somehow seemed to develop an inflamed saliva gland in the left side of my face, which is incredibly painful. In fact, this whole session I was in pain. But I try to ignore that. God helps me, and we get through it. Same thing with our preaching. It's just going to take time. I talked to the doctor about it. He said it just takes time to, it'll go away. But it couldn't go away too soon as far as I'm concerned. The entire newsletter that I wrote while in pain. And I'll tell you, though, there's really, I knew I was under attack. The devil is throwing everything at me that he can. But God is greater. And so I was able to get my work done. And I missed last time on Q&A, but other than that, I was able to make all the services and to do the newsletter. So it's something that keeps me awake at night, and tremendous pain on a scale of 1 to 10, I think might have been 11. It's really something. But it is going to go. And if you will pray for me, I know it will go quicker. And I certainly love all of you very much. I appreciate the fact that you're there. And that's something you could do for me, and I'd be very, very thankful to you for that. Also, if you pray for Shirley, she's getting better now too, but she was under attack. Of course, she plays the piano beautifully, and she ended up somehow with a staph infection in her right hand. And right now she's in the process of getting all new skin. It's healing nicely, but it's been a very, very difficult time for us the past 3 weeks. So she's doing well, but I know she'd appreciate your prayers too. We have no complaint. It's worth it. As bad as the pain can be, it's worth all of it if we can still do a work for God and draw ever closer to Him. So praise the Lord. I love all of you very much. And it just gives me a great comfort to know there are people like you out there that love God. I think you're the finest people in the world, because I just picked that up from your questions and observations. So I'm going to ask Shirley to come up here again and give you a closing prayer. And God bless you, and be with you always, and keep you safe and in the palm of His hand. Amen. Okay?
Well, praise the Lord. It was really good to have another session, and I do thank the Lord for the strength. You know, sometimes we don't realize until some little thing comes along and just kind of delays our ability to function as we are accustomed to, and all at once we realize, you know, we have to slow down and take things easy or whatever. But you know, God is so faithful, and He's so good to us, and He can help us to overcome every obstacle, and we're just so thankful to be able to do our little bit for the Lord. I'm really feeling the urgency at this point to do whatever we can while we still have the day to do it, because I know the night is coming when no man can work, and I'm really feeling the pressure of the nearness of the coming of the Lord. And every time we get together, one of these sessions, I do thank the Lord. We never know when it will be the last, but I do rejoice that God has allowed us these privileges, and we are blessed of the Lord. So praise the Lord. I'm going to pray, and I'm also going to bring Lynn before the Lord. I did hear a little bit of the dilemma, and I've been praying for you, Lynn, and I've been praying for your husband, and I know our God does all things well, and I'm going to bring this all before the Lord now. Oh, Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful that we can gather together. Oh, Lord, that you gave us this privilege, this time, Lord. I thank you for these questions that came from the hearts of these individuals, Lord. And Lord, I'm so thankful that you have supplied us with your word. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord, it feeds our soul. It nourishes us. It has the answers to eternal life, Lord. And we are so blessed, oh, God, to be able to read its pages, Lord, and put it in our hearts. And God, I just pray, oh, Lord, that you would make us all fervent for thee, oh, Lord. God, give us that determination. Oh, Lord, make us strong. Oh, Lord, fill us mightily with the Holy Ghost day by day. Renew our strength, oh, Lord, and lead us in the way that we should go. And Lord, I just pray for each individual, Lord, that's requested their need to be baptized in the name of Jesus, Lord. And I just pray that you would make a way for each person, Lord. Oh, God, Lord, just let, oh, Lord, the answer come. And Lord, oh, I just pray that you would work out every detail, Lord. And God, I just also bring Lynn before thee, Lord. I just pray that you would give her thy strength. Give her thy wisdom, oh, Lord. God, help her in this trial, Lord. And I just pray that you would just continue to talk to her husband. Oh, Lord, I pray, oh, Lord, he'd just feel thy spirit prompting him, oh, Lord, to come to obedience to thy word, Lord. I just pray, oh God, he'll see what's truly written on the pages of thy word, Lord. And God, I pray that you would convict him, that you would talk to him even tonight, Lord. Oh God, I just pray that this would not be the end of the story, but that you would do a work, Lord. And we do give it to thee, Lord. We just give all our situations to thee, Lord. And we ask, oh Lord, that you would work on our behalf. Give us the faith that we need to be strong, and the faith to believe thee, Lord, the faith to hang on and to prevail, Lord. And God, I just pray that each and every one of us would overcome, Lord. Oh, Lord, that our cup would be overfull with thy spirit, with thy joy, with thy love, oh God. And oh, Lord, keep us, we ask. Oh, Lord, use us. And oh, God, just lead us in the way that we should go. And I just pray for a mighty deliverance in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you guys, and until the next Q&A, this is Brian Erickson signing off.
Praise the Lord.